Well, boys, looks like you started the fun without me.
You're all sick. Every last one of you.
We're going to need a bigger gun.
What's the matter? You scared of things that go boom, boom, boom?
Give me one goddamn reason why I shouldn't blow your goddamn brains all over that goddamn wall.
My name is Eric, and I'm here with Michael.
Yeah,
sound checking.
I'm also here with Michael.
Checking the.
Always here with Michael.
Wow, that must be hard.
It's rough.
That must be pretty
constantly
fucking hard.
Making myself laugh.
And how to be
speaking about poignant things that involve.
Fuck off.
Brilliant analogies.
How do the levels look over there?
They look okay.
Okay, good. I kind of just want to start. Not going to lie. That's how much I care about today's episode of Double Feature Year 4 Finale. We're doing the spoiler-free year-end recap.
Oh, spoiler-free. Thanks for that reminder.
Yeah, so there's no spoilers. That's the reminder today. There will be chapters, but they're arbitrary. I don't know what they do.
Maybe if I don't know. We'll probably get to something about chapters a little later.
Are we?
I think so.
Do you have something planned for chapters? I don't like when you do that. You scare me. Anything that isn't in the tiny notes section on my phone is, I have to do this from a phone today.
Yeah, I have a big phone that can't call people.
You have the iPad so you can read emails.
Yeah.
And I hate you.
You can have it. We can Frisbee it. I've been practicing Frisbee.
Oh, no, that's not a good idea. Why don't you just leave that on your lap? In fact, okay. If you just want to move it more that way, you're freaking me out a little bit.
There we go.
So I had this brilliant idea.
Okay.
Right? Now, this is the fourth time we've wasted 2 hours of somebody's time,
mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, this is going to be the shortest one of these ever. I know I say this every time.
Just keep dialing it back until
it disappears.
Well, I think I'm looking forward to the 10-minute year end where we just go,
oh,
hey,
God.
Good job.
Yeah, that's pretty much all that's necessary. Well, seeing as we talk about the year end on every episode leading up to the year end, I feel like it's not that necessary anyways. But there's always a stupid joke about film spotting. People have probably noticed.
Yeah.
I had a brilliant idea this year that I'm now going to tell you about. And the fact I'm telling you about the brilliant idea rather than putting it in the show means that the story ends in failure. I thought it'd be really funny if film spotting is, we're going to blow the film spotting thing right now, and then we're never going to talk about film spotting again.
All right.
Film spotting is another podcast from Chicago.
Yeah.
And since it's another podcast, it's by default, I guess, a better podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
From Chicago. But we make fun of it because it's a review show.
Yeah.
And who the fuck cares about that?
Yep.
That's where we have the tactical advantage.
Yeah.
In that we're not reviewing movies. But, you know, guys we know, I've talked to him a couple times. We go to the same film things. We were at a premiere they happened to be at. I don't even remember what that was.
Probably, I don't either. Repo.
No, I don't think it was Repo. It was
D9.
I think it was D9. It was somewhere. It doesn't matter. Does not matter. The point is, I thought it'd be really funny if I talked to those guys and got them to do the intro for our show.
Uh-huh.
So instead of me coming on here and blah blah jokes about film spotting, they could just
make fun of us.
It would be
on
funny.
Our medium.
Well, they could introduce
That's a good
themselves.
Plan.
I thought it would be funny if they introduced themselves as us, as Eric and my name's Eric. By the way, I don't know if we covered.
Oh
this.
Yeah, Michael. Sound checking.
No,
pleasure to be here.
We're far beyond that point.
Oh,
it's too late for
these
that
sound
now.
Checks. Always just go so long. I can never tell when we're starting the show.
This
anymore.
One's going to go an hour and 20 minutes. So my point was. Brilliant idea, right? It's funny.
Yeah, it's
And
hilarious.
They come on and they do the thing, and eventually it would just become us instead of them, and I could work in some audio engineering. This is great. This sounds like a great plan.
Well, then people just wouldn't know it happened.
That's pretty much par for the course, though, isn't
it? Yeah, that's true.
Then,
for us.
Then what happened? Because I don't actually listen to film spotting.
Oh, God.
I'm a terrible person. I went over there and I took a peek and I was going to send, I know Maddie, we emailed once in a while.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it turns out he's not even on the show anymore. So that's,
who's on the show?
It's Adam and some guy who runs like a Christian movie blog or something.
What?
That I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know Adam as well, so I wasn't going to send him a thing.
Huh.
And it's not even the same two voices. I don't even know what the other guy sounds like. I guess he's been doing it a year or something.
Wow.
Yeah. So much for that.
Whoops.
RIP film spotting jokes. But film spotting from Chicago, important double feature still. from Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
We were this fucking close from doing year five in Silicon Valley. And
yeah, that almost happened.
Not the case. We are.
I would have claimed we were in Chicago.
Yeah, that's fine. That's okay. Still podcasting from beautiful Chicago. I did that thing. It kind of reminded me, we were talking about this in Rocky too. I did that thing where I've lived in Chicago for a long time and I thought about it and I thought I have to suck it up and I have to move out west. And I made the mental decision to turn my back on Chicago and then I sold out and I went out west. And then with my tail between my legs, I came back to Chicago.
Chicago welcomed you with open arms.
Oh, Rocky too. One other thing I want to talk about, and then we'll talk about all the stuff nobody cares about. Okay. We're going to count down movie lists.
Do we have countdowns?
How am I supposed to know? IMDb. So this is a little braggy thing to make me feel better about the sad thing I just mentioned. Uh-huh. I'm on IMDb.
That's exciting.
Super fucking cool. I didn't even finagle that. Somebody else did that.
Yeah.
I wound up on there for, I did sound engineering for a short called I Am Anna, the one that Rob was in, a mutual friend of ours. And so Rob's on IMDb as well. Hey, congrats, Rob. Welcome to the club. And then my fucking Birthday Massacre DVD got added on finally. That shit. Yeah, after, 5 years or so? What was that, 2006? 2006, excuse me. Ugh, gross. I think I'm on a video talking about that, and I describe it as a 2006 DVD because I didn't know how to pronounce the year yet.
Well, that's okay.
People downloaded this, but they didn't pay anything, so it's fine. Let's talk about, I don't know, best pairings or emails, or how do you want to do this?
Let's talk about emails and then best pairings and then emails. And
okay. Then why don't you, I don't know, read me, you know what? Actually, we're not even going to read an email. I'm just going to credit someone and that'll, we'll be minus one on the email. That's going to work out really well. We got, I don't know if you saw this thing, man. We got a email from Kay. Actually, she said in her email, she said, found this vaguely interesting, so thought you guys should give it 10 seconds. And she linked to this study. And I'll put a link on the show notes. It's a study that came out. The nature of us only doing year-end and emails once a year is that nothing is relevant by the time we talk about it. But maybe you'll remember the study that spoilers do not affect your enjoyment of a film. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, so how do you feel about that? It's one study. I mean, I don't know how much evidence it is one way or the other.
I don't know. I honestly...
Make you consider if you should be spoiled or not?
I still don't want to be spoiled.
You still don't want to be spoiled.
I just don't want to. But I guess if it doesn't ruin my enjoyment of the film, it makes me less want to smack the person who spoils me.
Right. Yeah. There's a guy I know who always starts conversations about things with, I'm not going to spoil anything. But, and then tells you how the movie ends.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fucking trap every time you talk to him about anything. When that study came out, I was talking to somebody about it and trying to figure out, well, should I reconsider spoilers? I love the idea that at any given point I could be 100% wrong about something, which happens pretty often. But, might just completely change my fucking worldview any given day of the week.
But also, I think that we've discussed this before. I think that our definition of a spoiler and the definition of a spoiler that most people would so people tend to think a spoiler is the major point in the climax and the turning point where you realize how the film ends.
Or the twist.
For me, a spoiler is anything after the director.
Okay.
The title's a spoiler.
Right.
The trailer's a spoiler. Actors in the film are spoilers because the reason knowing an actor is in a film is a spoiler is at the beginning of the film, anybody who's not in the frame, you know there's going to be more people.
Sure.
That's a spoiler.
Yeah. You're something of a spoiler extremist, I guess.
Well, I just feel like if you're gonna tell me anything, tell me everything.
Right.
Because there's no...
No, I can see that.
I just want to know the director so that I know what to expect visually.
Sure. Whose movie you're going to see.
Yeah.
Well, so there's somebody else I talked to. His name's Lewis, right? And Lewis's idea and what he started doing is he has these different tiers of what he will do in anticipation of a movie. And I thought this would be a really good thing to set up as a personal test. There were a couple of films he was doing this with at the time, but one film, he knows he wants to see all of these. But one film he goes into and he knows nothing. He's just where you're at. Knows the director, vaguely interested, that's enough, stays away from fucking anything about the movie. Second movie, he will watch just the advertising, but all of the advertising. He'll see every single trailer, the international stuff, all of it. And then the third movie, he will read spoilers. He will, you know, get an early copy of the script if he can. He'll read message boards. He'll read, you know, just an excitement trying to figure out every little... You see this with superhero movies all the time. They shoot these giant scenes on the streets and people show up and take cell phone pictures and all of that. So it'll be complete overexposure at that point. And then he'll compare how he enjoyed the three movies.
But what if they suck?
Well, that's the thing is there's no... what's that called in science where you have the...
Control?
Thank you. What the fuck happened there? That was terrible.
Yeah.
The control, right? There's no control in this. I have set up an experiment and I did not know the word control now. We need to move on to the next email. Read it to me.
So this is from Matt from Japan.
Awesome.
Your tangent on Japanese pornography and censorship was really interesting to me, not least because I live in Japan and have, I suppose, a normal interest in porn. What's a normal interest in porn?
I don't know.
Meaning interested in porn?
Right, sure.
I can't say I watch much Japanese porn, pretty much for the reasons you already outlined. However, I don't know if you're aware of any other laws regarding Japanese pornography, specifically as it relates to child porn. That is to say, videos and pictures of people raping children. In Japan, I believe it's actually legal to possess child pornography. It is still illegal to produce or distribute, but the laws regarding possession are surprisingly lax. Furthermore, the laws regarding animated pornography, as with real-life porno, dictate that people's junk should be blurred or blocked. Junk meaning...
Genitalia, I assume. Yeah.
Sorry. However, there are no laws pertaining to whether or not someone is allowed to create and distribute animated child pornography. Whether there should be laws that prohibit pornography that depicts animated child rape is another issue. Should be laws is a phrase that makes me uncomfortable. I've read it a few times.
No, I hear you on that.
Okay. It's arguable that this contributes to, or perhaps is contributed to by, the cultural fascination with young girls, while we Americans like our girls to look young but act like adults. In Japan, it's generally considered more attractive when women act like children, in addition to looking young. It's really obnoxious if you ask me, but that's an opinion and not a fact. That's really, and it's a very insightful email.
Yeah, it's also an incredibly objective viewpoint to have there. To be able to stand back and say that's an opinion and not a fact, that's something that should probably preface every single one of our shows.
It should preface pretty much anything anyone says, I think.
Yeah, so it's a...
It should be an understood...
Right. Assuming that Matt knows what he's talking about,
because he doesn't, because it's just an opinion.
Well, that's okay too. Japan makes me angry with their pornography laws.
Yeah,
I guess I have less to say about the content of this email, and I just wanted to contribute to our body of knowledge regarding Japanese pornography.
Well, there is the notion of animated child pornography and whether you should be allowed to create and distribute that.
Sure.
I think that's fine.
It's animated. It's not hurting anyone. Yeah, exactly. There's no victim there. It's just fucking weird and creepy.
Yeah, but it's the same. It's like, what was the thing when we were talking back about happiness last week?
Yeah, right.
Talking about where the line of pedophilia is drawn.
Sure.
I can see us
veering into another uncomfortable direction. So I'm going to read another email, I think. Again, weird and creepy.
Weird and creepy just ends with being weird and creepy.
Yeah, that's fine. Again, it's already bad because it's weird and creepy. That's okay.
Weird and creepy is just our opinion. It's not a fact.
True. All right. So let me see. Emails. Somebody who goes by Lyrisect said, love the podcast, guys. Just wondering, though, could you please talk about chapters more?
Do people think we're joking?
I don't know, man. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, has it become a joke that we discuss chapters at the beginning of every... Do people think we're kidding and that we don't actually think it? I mean, there are people who legitimately don't know what the fuck we're talking about, right?
Right.
Is the joke on us and we're actually doing the extra work and everybody's like, it's a fucking podcast, guys.
Peter wrote us about a Little Shop of Horrors. He said, oh, this is another where we fucked up. So,
oh, good.
There's going to be a lot of that on this show, too. Not nearly as much as there should be, but as much as I could find in the 25 seconds I wanted to prepare for the show.
Great.
Can you tell how much I love our show when we're not actually watching movies?
Uh-huh.
Mm, yeah,
it's so important.
of the show. Well, that's the thing, is it tears down how not important this is when it's just you and me talking.
Yeah.
Suddenly there's no beautiful two posters next to each other. There isn't a plus in the title. Really, the plus in the artwork is all all the show is going for. And it's just me giggling for an hour then. Peter says, why do you display the poster for the 1986 version of Little Shop of Horrors when you spend the entire time talking about the 1960 version?
Okay, well...
now I have to kill myself, he adds.
Oh.
Yeah, it gets... There's kind of a bleak turn at the end of that. Yeah,
spoilers.
At the end of that email.
So I'm going to just go on record and say I had nothing to do with that.
No, you didn't.
Actually, though, I probably did see it go up online. And
didn't give a fuck.
And just went, oh, that's the colorful plant from The Little Shop of Horrors. Because
I didn't know, man. Well, how am I supposed to know?
There's no fixing that.
Well, there is. I changed it. And then I had to go back into the 30 channels we released the show
in. There's no retroactively preventing the suicide.
No, I mean, he did kind of kill himself for nothing. Now we'll never get to see the totally sweet poster I put up for...
Yeah.
I wonder if
he'll get to see the totally sweet movie, which I'm still going to argue is more important than the poster you put up.
Probably. Let's talk about best pairings first.
Okay.
Doesn't that usually go last? How does that work?
Yeah, I don't know.
Best pairings is
rough.
I want to talk about, so the thing we do on the show is we put two movies back to back. Sometimes we do an awesome job. Let's talk about the awesome job we did before we talk about the failures of this year.
I looked at the list.
Uh-huh.
I had
the list of all of the pairs
of
we've made all year.
Yeah, of this whole year.
50 some pairs.
I had a really hard time picking any that I thought were...
Is that because we made terrible pairs this year?
No, because I thought we did such a good job.
Yeah, we did kind of.
I mean, and I totally don't mean that in patting ourselves on the back way.
Well, it's okay, because right now you and I are drafting up year five of the show, and the pairs are all terrible. Every single one is going to be bad. So we'll take that in advance. Let's celebrate the great pairs from year four.
Yeah.
They're you're right. I was looking at them, and I started writing down the ones I liked. By the time I'd gotten down to the 10th one, I'd written down seriously about 8 or 9 of them. And one I just went, well, I can't pick every single fucking pair. All right, so here's a couple, and, you know, kind of let me know what you think about these, but I tried to think, after we did them on the show, did the conversations also come out well?
Sure.
Did it, because in addition to being two movies that have to go good back-to-back,
mm-hmm.
they have to generate a conversation.
Sure.
And kind of lend themselves towards that, and if they don't do that, well, they don't get best pair, I guess. they get mediocre pair you should make your friends watch. The first was the Glengarry Glen Ross and Shaun of the Dead episode.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
The theme there kind of being about the waking working world, or the sleep wake state, I guess,
sure.
of the working world, kind of living for the weekend and just the 9-to-5 grind, man. And we did that one with the zombie movie, so that makes mm-hmm. me happy. But Glengarry Glen Ross was kind of a surprise to see something like that on our show. It shouldn't be. We should do stuff like that all the time, but we just don't know what it is.
Yeah,
we aren't aware of those movies. Send them to us. Another one was what we kicked off the year with, which was Hatchet 2 and Cabin Fever 2.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a fucking knock down the goddamn barn door double feature.
Where are you going?
I was
going
to say something about burning a barn, and then I'm knocking down the door from a... I really just wanted to stomp down doors.
Okay.
That's what that made me want to do.
Sure.
Kind of a similar thing to Troll Hunter and Rare Exports.
Yeah, just that one I think was definitely up
solid,
there for one of my favorites.
I mean, you know, kind of simple, straightforward. Yeah. Everybody knows what it is, right time and place.
Mm-hmm.
Hatchet 2 and Cabin Fever 2.
Yeah.
I have... two more, but what are you thinking? Best pairs?
I think, honestly, one of my favorite pairs was last week's.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, I think not necessarily... for one, because it's hilarious that we managed
Happiness
to make anybody
kids, that's...
watch those two movies with those two titles.
Yeah, I forgot the pressure's off because everybody's killed themselves. Surprisingly, not over Little Shop of Horrors, but over Happiness and Kids.
But I thought that the conversations that we had about those two movies were really honest.
Yeah.
And they were really indicative of our human viewpoints.
Right.
And I liked that. I think, the most.
Yeah, that that created a really good show. It created a really good show. Do you have any other ones in mind?
I liked all the Rocky Asia stuff, especially when we got to the later ones.
Yeah, we'll have to get into that, too. I figured we'd kind of talk about Rocky and Asia a little bit on the show somewhere. This seems like a natural time to do that, so I'm going to shelve that conversation.
Great.
And we'll do it later instead when I'll have to shoehorn it back in. The conversation in Rear Window, that ended up being a really good one. It was from it was from earlier this year, so I almost forgot we did it. But somehow I remember Hatchetune Cabin Fever too, though. I think one of my favorites from this whole year was Freaks and the Straight Story. The reason, so first of all, we couldn't pair Freaks with anything ever. We tried. We've been trying every year for 3 years, basically. Yep. To get Freaks on the show somehow, and it was always, we always felt bad because what did we try and pair Freaks with? Let's give people some of the potential pairs we had.
Big
I remember there was that, there was kind of the Carney thing. Freaks and the Wrestler at some point,
because Mickey Rourke's weird looking
was a kind of a sideshow-ish double, they were all sideshow double features, I think.
Something with a blind person or a person with mental retardation. And it, but the whole purpose there was using people who are actually, quote, freaks to play freaks versus having Jamie Foxx play a blind guy.
Right.
right. It wasn't Ray. There's Ray. It wasn't Ray.
No, it was something even less tactful Rain than Man. That. I think. I don't remember what it was.
Waterboy.
We paired it with so many things where we thought we had a good idea and we were evangelizing a great concept. And then when we kind of stepped back and looked at the title, we went, oh, Freaks and a movie about freaks.
Yeah.
And it just seemed, it seemed to veer back into exploitation. And then I remember for a while last year, we kind of went, well, let's just go the exploitation angle.
Yeah.
Let's just do Freaks and just something fucking awful. And it turns out that still makes you feel terrible.
Yep.
So the Straight Story, you have no idea what
it is. The single most heartwarming film of all time.
Well, and there's that too. I was going to say, you look at the title and you don't get any indication, you know, of it being a comedy. That was
like
a
documentary. It seems like a John Stossel's.
Right, right. Well, I didn't like the second movie being a commentary on Freaks.
Yeah.
That just never seemed to work. And so we paired those together. We had a great conversation. It was a good day on the show. That was, I think that was probably, for me, the kind of the crowning moment. Might as well talk about the worst pairs that we did all year on the show. I have a plethora of failures in mind. What sticks out to you?
Welcome to the Dollhouse, Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. So it's interesting because my favorite pair of the year is by the same director as Welcome to the Dollhouse. But here's the thing. We really wanted to get Russ Meyer on the show. We constantly want to get Russ Meyer on the show.
Sure.
And we made the glaring mistake of picking what's apparently the poster child for a Russ Meyer film, which is Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
Now, when you say get Russ Meyer on the show, everyone gets excited and thinks we're going to interview him.
Russ Meyer's dead.
Yeah.
he was on the Amazon Women double feature. That was a great pair, by the way.
He was, well, yeah, that was so good because Amazon Women, I had not seen that. And that was another one that comes up every 5 minutes when we're trying to figure out a pair. Well, it's got the mechanic of the movie is that it's just a bunch of short clips, kind of.
It's you're flipping through TV.
And so there's so many times that comes up and it's like, well, why don't we do it with another thing where you go through the short...
Paris Hatem, Four Rooms, Chillerama.
Right. But instead we win, Videodrome. That's a... Yeah. We want to exploit the TV element of that.
Exploit the TV.
Yeah. And so we got to talk about more of that late night TV feeling. And a lot of people probably haven't seen Amazon Women. So we got to actually play around with that concept and sort of... It's like after you see, not to keep going back to superhero movies, maybe I've been on a kick lately, but you see a movie, you know, you go watch X-Men First Class, and then suddenly all you want to do is play X-Men video games.
Yep.
You just want everything in your life to be fucking X-Men.
Michael Fassbender, and moving metal.
You know, and so you watch Videodrome, and then you go, man, I really want to surf late night TV, just dirty, awful. And then Amazon Women on the Moon happens.
Yeah.
Perfect. Sorry, you were talking about a terrible double feature.
Well, I was just talking about how Beyond the Valley of the Dolls is impossible to pair with anything.
Why is that?
Because you can't tell what goes on. Because the film doesn't even really allow you...
Not sure what's happening.
Yeah, I feel like we did a really good job with the film.
Sure.
But that pairing it with Welcome to the Dollhouse was just a cute titular twist.
Yeah, see, that's the part I don't like, is the title part. Where Doll shows up twice.
And, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, is I feel like they're both films we should have done on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think they could have sparked better conversations outside of themselves by being with films that actually apply to them.
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree with you. And the episode title was too long, and little things like that bother me. Little things like, says Doll too many times, episode title too long, didn't reference Joss Whedon enough. Okay, so there's a couple for me, and I blame the movies in this, in these pairings, and not myself.
Okay, good.
A History of Violence and Out of the Past, simply because I'm not really sure what happened once we got to Out of the Past. I mean, it's, you know, it's a really basic concept, right? History of Violence, Out of the Past, people with shady pasts. Simple enough, straightforward, how could it possibly fail? I don't want to say that the show was a miserable failure.
It wasn't.
But once we got to Out of the Past, we needed to have that film noir doesn't make any goddamn sense. intervention.
Yeah.
And just kind of, I think that drove us so far away from the theme of that show. Kind of similar, we did Red Rock West and Burn After Reading.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, again, fine films. Red Rock West, great films. Just exceptional film. Especially being something, you know, we talk about Coen stuff all the time, but where the fuck did that movie come from?
Pretty stellar.
And then we got there on the day, and I don't really know why those two movies went together.
Yeah, I don't either.
Because we couldn't do Blood Simple, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think we joked about that on the show, but that was actually Blood Simple. Yeah,
I don't even remember why we couldn't do Blood Simple.
Because it would have been too fucking similar.
Yeah, too similar. Okay. So we just chucked in another Coen Brothers
movie. Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened.
Just sub out one Coen Brothers movie
for another
one.
I think that is exactly what happened.
Well, they play with so many of the same themes and type of, maybe not the types of characters, but I don't know. I feel like you could have a lot of similar conversations between their movies.
Sure. And I mean, they did have some congruous arcs. There's the whole accidental
thing.
Spoiler thing.
Right, or that part where the spoilers happen.
Yeah, there's plenty of that.
Or get spoiled in the face. That's might have been too much of a spoiler. All right, so biggest failure of last year. And again, this one's completely on me. And I think you kind of called me out.
Is it Altered States?
On the No, that was biggest spoiler of 5 years ago. What was that? That was year two, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was.
Year two. That was... Here's why...
But you got to see Nina Sharp naked.
This is why I love year two of our show. Year one, we had this artificial constraint, and we were stuck in, this is how we have to do the show. And year two opened up an infinite world of possibilities.
That's true.
And we could do any movie on the show. And now as we're drafting year five, we've done any movie on the show.
Yeah, we've run out of movies.
And also every movie on the show. And the people who have been emailing us for years trying to get us to do their favorite 30 films, and we haven't touched
Blade Runner,
one of
Return
them.
Of the Jedi.
The
Dead Man's Shoes comes up a lot. It's one of the more obscure ones.
The Man with No Dead Shoes, I think.
The Man with No Dead Shoes.
What you mean? Coffee and Foxy Brown.
Oh,
happened.
Yeah, that was on you because I specifically told you that was a horrible idea.
It was.
Did we talk about it on the show, how I had said it was a horrible idea?
We ran out of things to about after 7 minutes. So then I asked you about it. They're similar. And
they're
goes back to the idea we talked about on the show, so we won't talk about it too much here.
Yeah.
If you create a double feature that's too good, the films seem to fit too much, then they fit too much.
Yeah.
And that's fine if you're just going to watch the movies. Not so good if you have to record for an hour.
In typical year-end fashion.
Sure.
I need to go back to favorite pairings because I remembered one that I specifically wanted to state.
It's good. I'll just create another arbitrary chapter right
blew
here.
Blew it. Switchblade Sisters and Sucker Punch.
Yeah.
I loved that.
Yeah.
I mean, we do a lot of female empowerment and a lot of, you know, feminist stuff on the show. That's
sure.
kind of one of the things we do.
Way into that.
Basically, what I think I loved about it is that it took the same basic principle of outcast female brings together a band of women and sure. overcomes the oppression.
Sure, sure.
In the two most opposite manners possible. One is the most sleek, stylistic way you can do it.
Yep.
And one is a fucking, it's a fucking crank hand camera.
Yep.
Where everything's at, you know, it looks almost like a silent film because yeah. it's so shaky.
Right, right.
And it's just, but the fucking visceral feeling of victory and female empowerment just shines through. In it's 40 years difference, and you don't yep. lose any of the effect. And then we got to talk about, you know, Zack Snyder and Jack Hill, and we got some good directors in that episode.
See, that's a perfect antithesis to the Coffee Foxy Brown right. show, because we didn't even have to talk about any of that stuff. I mean, it kind of stated it yeah. itself. That was a pair where there was so much to talk about that the very pairing itself also helped kind of comment on the two movies. Yeah. And we didn't even have to deal with that part. It did it itself. It was just an sure. added bonus on there. Way to further somehow point out the failure of Coffee.
I'm sorry, but
Foxy Brown.
I can say that Coffee and Foxy Brown are two great, 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 great films.
They really are. Let's read some great emails.
Great emails.
Seth emails us all the time, and I've responded to him, I believe, 0 times this okay. year. And at this point, I really pat myself on the back if I can remember to forward you emails.
Yeah, you know, I get a lot of emails forwarded, and I get a lot of Facebook messages, which is yeah. actually probably the best way.
If you want to reach Michael, go on the Facebook.
It's just, I mean, because it's red and there's a square, and I feel it feels more urgent because yeah, I feel like you can see me.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Right. People I don't can see you through Facebook. You got to yeah. put a piece of tape over your FaceTime camera on the top of your MacBook. That'll stop that.
No, I don't mean like
happening.
Watch me. I mean, there's a picture of me. They know who's disappointing them and who's ignoring them.
Right, right.
What I'm doing when I'm not reading, you know, sure, when I'm not sure. responding.
Michael's busy on Farmville.
Yeah. Like I update my Facebook. And it's like, Michael likes Alice Cooper. Right. I messaged that kid 2 days ago. He's going seeing what Alice Cooper's up to. Like, fuck that sure. guy. I'm not sure. listening to
his
show.
Do you think Alice Cooper feels the same way about myself. You?
I think Alice Cooper feels very, very similarly to me.
All right, Seth, I apologize for not responding to your emails. I read them all. I really do. And I think yeah. to myself, wow, profound points. Too busy. Respond later. And now I'm responding 320 days later. Seth says, you guys speculate on whether teens like the protagonists are a real thing. Now, Seth is talking. I'm already going to cut off Seth's email.
Uh-huh.
See, I cut people off even when it's just me talking. That's how much of a fucking nut job I am. We did Super and Attack. That yeah. was the show. The film Super and the film Attack the Block. No, sorry.
That's wrong.
the film Beyond the Valley of the Planet.
Also false. Super was with Chillerama, which was the one with the splooge.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had written down Super in my notes because I want to talk about Super in a second. Spoiler.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Thank
and
you.
Attack the Block. Jesus. Also, great pair. Good job.
Fuck.
Well, good.
Anyways, on that show, we had asked if the children that are attacking everybody in the mean European streets, if that's
Moses
a real...
Moses and his crew.
Yeah. Is that a real thing? Right.
Yeah.
And so while being mugged at knife point, a couple of our listeners had actually emailed us. You guys speculate on whether teens like the protagonists are a real thing. I can confirm that violent teens are a serious problem in London and other urban British areas. And knife crime is the primary, he says bugbear. I don't know what that means.
Bugbear.
The primary bugbear. It's kind of fun to say, isn't it?
Bugbear.
Just bounce it.
Can we change the name of our show to Bugbear?
The primary bugbear of the middle class. That's even better, right? Sorry, I'm going to get through this email, I swear.
I'm making fun of you.
The primary bugbear of the middle class. Man, I love living in a gun-light country. The characters in ATB are 100% honest, believable, and true.
Loves living in a gun-light country.
So the reason I was going to talk about Super is I see that in his email, he goes on about how Super is pretty much the best thing ever.
Uh-huh.
So it's good. I'm glad someone else thought that. John wrote to us too, among other things. John writes to us once in a while and wrote about a lot of good stuff. But he says, regarding British youth gangs, yes, that's a real thing / real problem. Michael Caine's remarkably interesting second biography discusses it a bit. And at least with how the area where he grew up is full of youth gangs and how a lot of the kids in Harry Brown, filmed near where Kane lived as a boy, were A, in gangs, and B, really eager for a chance to act in the film. He also loves when we bash conspiracies on the show. So, we landed on the moon, people. There is an overwhelming amount of evidence.
Great.
John writes these great long emails, and he wrote about how amazing Super was, and he also strongly urged you to make Revenge of the Titanic so that we could do it with Wrong Turn 2 on the show.
That's a good idea.
I think we should just do the second half of the film, Titanic.
Yeah,
with Wrong Turn 2. Wrong Turn 2, another poor film that will never make it on this show.
It's so good. It's your fault.
Because it's my problem.
It's not your fault.
I can't put a sequel on.
You know what it is? It's whoever made Wrong Turn's fault. Right.
Fuck that guy. Do you want to read this Barbarella email here from Anthony?
I want to read everything about Barbarella.
Okay.
There's another music group that took their name from the movie. A duo named Motmos, which is that's the god goo that lives under the city.
Okay, cool. In Barbarella.
In Barbarella.
Or we didn't even do Barbarella this year. This is how old this email is, and I felt the
need to
add it.
They've had a very successful career in the independent electronic music scene. That's not a scene. And then became much more popular when Björk chose them for production/collaboration and touring several years back. Ooh, Vespertine. The Vespertine tour.
Yeah, right.
That was All Is Full of Love. That's when Björk really took off. Okay, so I don't know. As a musician, I feel bad. When I said independent electronic music scene wasn't a scene.
Yeah. That's unfair. What's that about, man?
I don't know. I'm just...
You're a fucking jerk and a music snob, and I hate you.
Okay, cool.
Barbarella happened a while ago. Sorry about that. Let's just run away from it as quickly as possible. I'm going to read an email about how to pronounce Trollhunter, and it's going to be really funny.
Are
you ready? Christopher wrote us, and we have... So, this has somehow become a show about my neurosis here, but we had a problem on that show that we didn't know if it was Trollhunter or the Trollhunter, one word, two words.
Yeah.
Everything gets slurred together.
Sure.
Someone actually wrote us and explained what it should be based on literal translation.
Okay.
It's exactly what we needed, and we exactly fucked it up and got none of it correct.
Perfect.
Christopher writes and he says, I'm an American currently studying Norwegian autodidactically.
Wow.
Yeah. And would like to share with you guys what I can about the title of Trolljegeren.
That's way wrong.
Oh, come on. Trolljegeren. Trolljegeren.
Yay.
That's as close as I'm going to get. Translates to English, how it translates, right? So the EN at the end of the word there is the definite article. So that makes it the. Trollljegar is a double
Agar.
Word.
Oh. Stop pronouncing it like an American. There's three syllables. It's yay, not ya.
Troll. I guess
just
it's like
it
Jaeger,
slow.
Right?
Isn't no, that gar, how? Gar. Just say it slow. Read the three different. There's on this.
Trollljegar?
Gar.
I've lost my place in this email.
You're right after Trollljegar.
It is a double word, which Norwegian does a lot. It could be translated as either troll hyphen hunter or troll space hunter, since troll hunter, one word, would not be grammatically correct in English. So there you have it. It's either the troll hyphen hunter or the troll space hunter. But then marketing can screw with the title however they please. Here's the point of this email. It's not how bad my pronunciation
of
Norwegian
words. No, it's not. I thought
it
was, but then at the end, it turned back into American.
Yeah, it did. Turned back into American. Oh, God. It's like we're just in a constant competition for who can say the dumber thing on today's episode of the show. Point was, there's either a hyphen or a space. It's one or the other. And
it starts with
the one that the American release ended up going with is nowhere to be found within
all
the
caps,
literal
no spaces.
Yeah, it just failure all around failure. Read me the Stakeland email.
Oh, Stakeland. I love Stakeland. What did we pair Stakeland with?
We paired it with Red State.
That was a really good one too.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah, what I said earlier about all the pairs being pretty good.
Yeah, spot on with that.
Yeah.
The most correct thing you've said thus far. here's what we're going to do. We're going to read this email, and then we're going to talk about some times we fucked up. So hopefully this email says something nice.
All right.
You can start by trying to pronounce this listener's name correctly. They're from Russia.
From Russia, and it's Asiata. I'm going to go with Asiata.
I wouldn't have even gotten that in my first 7 tries.
Before, it was clearly the horror genre that did vampires. Stakeland was much more dramatical than any of the vampire movies. It's not just another vampire movie or some horror stuff. It wasn't like watching it to get some horror adrenaline. I watched it like a much more serious movie. It's this ambience. Is that ambiance?
I don't know. They're Russian, so they're English, probably not their first language, I think.
It's this ambiance, the music, thank you for having said a couple words about it, but also the acting differs from the horror acting. That was Danielle Harris and the guy from Mulberry Street. That's the one.
Writer as well.
There was one more thing, Kelly McGillis. I remember her from the movies of 80s or 90s, that sexy stuff in Top Gun and something else. Have you seen Top Gun?
I have, but when it came out. So
I've never
know.
Seen Top Gun. I've been taken to task for... So, because I tend to dabble in these movies
this
from the
70s... This isn't part of the email, right?
Yeah,
I just wanted to make sure...
I'm off the rail.
No, it's all right. You're off script. It's fine. I just wanted to clarify. I was like, wow, English got really, really good for a second there.
Because I dabble so heavily in 60s, 70s, and 80s films and horror, I haven't seen Citizen Kane. I haven't seen The Deer Hunter. I haven't seen Scarface. I haven't seen the Godfather films. I haven't seen Top Gun. I haven't seen Wild Wild West. The films that everybody...
Don't worry about that one.
I've just constantly taken to task for not having seen these films.
Sure,
that
right.
Apparently everyone has fucking seen.
I guess.
But then when I turn around and ask somebody whether they saw Rolling Thunder, they look at me like I'm a crazy person.
Well, as they should. As they should.
Whatever.
So what's the rest of this email say?
Says, then, in some 20 years, a much older and serious lady, back talking about Kelly McGillis, who was apparently in Top Gun.
Right.
A beautiful character, almost archetypical caring mother. I loved, with lots of L's, loved, I don't know if that's Russian for loved, the rest of the cast, but I'm not saying anything because you told everything. Which, that's nice to hear that we said everything there is to say about Stakeland.
Every single thing. But someone else agrees with us about Stakeland being a much more serious take on vampire stuff.
Yeah.
A direction, you know, one of many possible directions to go, but clearly doing something different than all these other vampire movies. Sure. Way to go, Stakeland.
So speaking of Red State, it seems there's another one here.
Yeah, Ross wrote us about Red State, the one we paired with Stakeland, and said... I was also pleasantly surprised by Kevin Smith's Red State. It reminded me of how I felt when Woody Allen made Match Point after decades of films that looked and felt nothing like that. This is a thing filmmakers do once in a while. That's me talking, not Ross. Ross did write a bunch of stuff in his email, but I have to paraphrase all these emails, otherwise we'll never get through them. Let's ignore the emails for a second, speaking of that, and hop back over to times we were completely wrong about something. Were you ever wrong about anything on the show? You were pretty much right every time.
I'm slowly learning of times I was wrong in
right.
the show.
Right. Just now are you figuring this out?
Yeah.
So besides the time you let me post the bad poster art for Little Shop of Horrors.
Sorry about signing off on that
one. You were
one.
Way wrong on that. The time you continued the poor use of Troll Hunter.
Was all me.
That was bad. And the time you wanted to pair coffee and Foxy
horrible,
Brown.
Horrible play.
That was a bad move.
Really? You know, one of the times that I was probably wrong the most, I'm just going to throw this out there. I mean, because it's fair and because we haven't talked about it and we said we would. I just want to concede that as much as I tried to know about the Asian half of Rocky Asia.
Sure, right.
I'm a 24-year-old white American male
right.
who's never left the country.
Great.
So
well done.
I know about as much as watching a lot of movies plus Wikipedia.
Sure.
And
man, you know what
random.
Though? There are things that go unstated on the show because it just seems stupid to talk about them every week when we need to make time for things like chapters.
Yeah.
We have no idea what we're talking about.
Yep.
We used to mention that pretty much every time.
Yeah.
Let's just go back to that. Don't know what we're talking about. Because we haven't seen every film ever, Neither of us have seriously studied film. Maybe autodidactically, but never through somebody else's regimen.
Mm-hmm.
We rarely read about film.
Yeah.
If ever.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Right. Well, you don't, you know, you can't read film analysis about movies you haven't seen. Right. It's going to fuck
and
up
And I haven't
the
seen any of the film. I just said that. Right. I haven't seen any of the movies people are analyzing. I just saw Apocalypse Now last year.
Sure. We're recording a show directly after we see the movies because here's the thing. And people are going to sound like, well, excuses, excuses. Maybe you should watch the movies and then research them and then record. We don't have fucking time for this.
Yeah, we watch 100.
There's two options here.
50 movies a year.
Two options. We do the show exactly the way we do it now, where it's just as bad as it's always been and hopefully no worse. Or we don't do the show. Those are the two things. Do the show better, not an option available to us, we'd be doing it, right?
Yeah, we do it as better as we can.
Right. Right. Thank you for that. So that's one thing. The other thing that never gets stated is that these are our opinions.
Yeah.
People will ding us all the time for, and when I say ding, I mean on iTunes, subtract a star.
No.
Because, yeah, don't go over there. It's abysmal. People actually say a lot of nice things on iTunes.
Thank
I check
you.
Up on that about once every 2 years because that's as often as I can stand to read about myself. Doing poorly, especially. These are our opinions. We can't come out here and say, in my humble opinion, every fucking time,
sure.
ever. When something is a fact, you'll know it's a fact because I'll use a lot of vulgarity and probably a sample from Rebecca Watson.
Yeah.
And even that stuff people will argue with more than my own opinions on the show. But if we state something about a movie and it sounds like it's probably an opinion and not really a cemented fact, then it's an opinion and not a fucking fact. We respect our audience enough to know that when we go, oh yeah, Red State, best movie ever, blah, blah, blah. It's not actually qualitatively the best film ever made. Impossible.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
The person listening to this, I think you're smart enough to figure that out. The people who aren't listening to this are already, you know, they already got mad and subtracted a star. So fuck those people. Here's somewhere I was wrong.
Okay.
I was wrong about Saw. I was not wrong about Saw this year, but I was wrong about Saw previously, and I didn't say anything about it, and I attempted to just bury that in my past. And you know what? It's maybe time to drag that out because Saw happened this year.
Well, and I, you know, if you were wrong about Saw the way I think you're about to say you were wrong about Saw, I don't think you're alone.
Yeah.
I wasn't wrong about Saw.
The Saw movies.
But I think I lucked out.
Yeah. Well, when we hadn't seen a lot of horror movies, you'd seen the Saw movies.
Yeah.
And you placed your bet in the camp of Saw is awesome.
Yep.
And when I hadn't seen a lot of horror movies, I placed my bet in the camp of Saw is not even a film franchise, let alone good movies. It's just pretty much the worst thing ever made. And there's a lot to respect about Saw that I didn't understand at the time.
Yeah.
If you look at them next to the fucking Children of Men type films I was watching at the time that Saw started coming out, I compared it to something like Seven. If you compare Saw and Seven, Saw is a bad film.
Yeah.
That's just how that happens.
Sure.
It appears to do nothing but steal from Seven
and
adds nothing collectively to the conversation about film. That's if all you've seen is the movie Saw and the movie Seven, which is all I had seen. But when you start looking at these other franchises and you see what the Saw franchise evolved into. I mean, we talked for a really long time about what that contributes to the conversation. There's a lot to that franchise. Might be one of the, I know you hate when I use the term executed and we talk about movies where
people
die.
Dying.
But it's one of the best executed horror franchises ever.
Well,
it's just so well thought out.
And I just wish people would give it a shot because do you remember...
I didn't give it a shot, and now I'm in a Where We Were Wrong chapter on Double Feature.
Well, and do you remember when we were at, we were seeing Repo, and Bousman was there. Darren Lynn Bousman, the director of Repo, the director of Saw 2, 3, and 4. And he was talking about having done Repo and how prior to that, he had done the Saw films, and he said that, and I clapped.
Yes.
Just me.
Yes, I do remember
I went,
that. Yeah.
Woo... and clapped about six times.
Right.
And then...
in a theater of several hundred people,
and it,
you were alone.
Nobody else.
Yeah, it was awkward.
And he said something along the lines of, glad somebody liked them, as if he himself didn't even have any pride in the films.
Yeah.
And I just remember sitting in that theater going, how are you guys horror people?
Yeah.
How have you seen, and it dawned on me that they probably just hadn't given it a chance.
They were all fans of The Exorcist. Sure. That's what it was.
And in a similar vein, and when you bring up Saw, it compels me to bring up Final Destination, because I was in that boat with Final Destination. I thought Final Destination quite literally was a bunch of teenagers dying violently and haha, that's what we're watching.
Right.
I was so wrong.
Yeah.
I love the Final Destination franchise.
Sure.
I went home that day shouting to my roommates, right. Do not laugh at Final Destination. They do some things that no one's ever fucking done before.
Yeah, right. Yeah, doing things no one's ever done before is a great way to make me super fucking wrong. Final Destination's a great example of that, too. I mean, my voice has never been recorded rallying against Final Destination. Yeah. It should be stated that I've probably been wrong about any horror movie franchise I haven't thought about in 5 years.
Yeah.
Because 5 years ago, I thought there was nothing to any of them. And if I can talk for an hour about them, then obviously there's something to them, right? The fucking music in Saw alone, we could have done an entire show about. Some would argue maybe we did an entire show about. But there was an episode earlier in the history of Double Feature where I had basically gone, you know what, Saw, those films are terrible.
Yeah.
That is me recorded on the internet somewhere saying that. And very obviously wrong. Wrong as I've been about Eli Roth, and wrong. Eli Roth is amazing, by the way. That's still my current position. But you know, we started investigating Eli Roth, and I was like, I don't really know about this guy.
There was a point in my life where I hated Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
I
mean, yeah, right.
If you don't have the right background,
right.
Saw, it has nothing to land on.
Sure.
And it falls way below.
You're not really sure what you're looking at. You can't really appreciate it for what it is. And those are movies made for, I mean, they're made for a popular appeal audience.
Yeah.
But they're also made for people who watch those goddamn movies every single year. Same of Final Destination. And, you know, I think a lot of these same things could be said about David Lynch, who at one point I hated and is now one of my favorite filmmakers.
Agreed.
We're human beings. We change our minds, and sometimes we're way wrong. And you know what? Maybe I'll reverse my opinion on all of those things. Again, 5 years from now, probably not, but I'm totally open to that possibility. Things that you were surprised by throughout the year.
Uh-huh.
Times that we saw a particular movie, maybe, and you went, well, goddamn, that movie.
Yeah.
Awesome. I mean, I got a couple of them, and we've hit on a few of these, but Red Rock West.
Yeah, huge surprise.
Came out of nowhere.
Yep.
And I'd even fucking seen it before, and I was floored by it then, and then some time had passed, and... floored by that happens to me with LA Confidential.
Yeah.
I see LA Confidential and it's good. And then we put it on the show and it's great. And then I saw it again a couple months back and it's best. And if I watched it today, it would probably be whatever word follows that.
Mm-hmm.
It's it gets better every fucking time. And you always forget about it. It's like, you know, Reanimator.
Sure.
Right? You forget best movie ever. Stuff you were surprised by throughout the year.
So I hate to keep going back to it, but I'm going to start here. Happiness.
Yeah.
When we watched Happiness, and I say we, even though we watched it individually, but you watched it on my recommendation because I thought it'd be hilarious.
Oh, you mean the first time we saw it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. When I watched it the first time, I wasn't sure what was going on, and it made me uncomfortable. And I think I was halfway through, right about the time that thing happened with the bedroom wall.
Right.
I think I emailed you or texted you, and I was like, haha, you should watch this movie called Happiness. It's
almost
amazing.
As a prank.
It was it was basically a prank. It was intended to be a prank.
Sure.
Now,
we didn't discuss this a whole lot on last episode of the show, but I believe I brought this up before. I used to be sectioned off from society levels of crazy. As in, cannot operate in a civilized universe crazy.
Right.
In seclusion, I think, is what that's called. Kind of like if you live in a busy city, you see those street people. They're sort of talking to themselves.
Oh.
Those people.
Yeah.
They're not even asking for money, but they sort of look like bums. And they're just, maybe they're having a fight with their inner monologue. That was me at some point.
Right. But naked.
And, right. Well, sometimes the street people are naked, too.
That's true.
Yeah, you know, doing naked cartwheels at 4 a.m, talking to myself, eating the head off a pigeon.
Calling me.
Well, I've been a vegetarian for 13 years. I probably wasn't biting the head off a pigeon.
Well, maybe if you spit it out, does that still count?
Maybe a tofu pigeon.
tofu pigeon.
So we won't talk about my time with the tofu pigeon.
But we will talk about that time that I pranked you into watching Happiness.
So this was... So you... I don't know how we were even friends, because you don't...
Illinois is how we were friends.
You don't deal well with when I have mentally crazy breakdowns in my life. But this... I guess because I was 3 hours away from you.
Yeah.
This... It was partitioned off enough that it was amusing for
you. You were so secluded.
Right. So occasionally we would have communication back and forth. And they would be the types of communication that someone who hasn't talked to a human being forever, would, you know, the things sure. they might say. And so you would respond back with, you would basically set up a trap for yeah. me. Because this was funny to you. You're a terrible human being, by the way.
I like messing with my friends.
So you got me to watch Happiness.
Yeah.
Because I could watch movies. That was a thing I could do. Plenty of free time when you're sectioned off from the civilized world. On your lonesome there. So I watched Happiness, and then, yeah, that scene happened.
Yeah.
And I wanted to kick you in the face. What is this thing you're showing me?
So when we rewatched it for the show last week, it dawned on me that it's a really good fucking film.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Oh, my God, is it good.
Yeah.
And it made me feel like an idiot, for one. but it surprised me because we had... intended to stick it out. I was trying to pull the same joke
right.
on all of Podmanity.
On the audience, yeah.
But
Bag Cat too. I didn't have Bag Cat at the time. Yeah. So it was just going to be heavy for me until something happened that, I don't know, you know, 3 seconds went by and I had a seizure or a blackout or something and forgot what I just did.
Yeah.
Which is probably what happened.
And the straight story, I think, huge surprise.
Because neither of us had seen that.
I thought it was. I was under the impression it was a documentary about some guy riding a lawnmower. Like sure. I thought it was going to be a documentary about that scene in Forrest Gump where he decides to jog across the country.
Forrest Gump is my Godfather, Scarface, Return of the Jedi. What movie I knew?
Let's pair Forrest Gump with Return of the Jedi sometime in year five.
Not gonna happen. Fucking emails coming in. I already wonder why I don't read those.
Run, Chewy, run.
My spam filters are breaking down. We're getting so many emails about Blade Runner 2 that I think the 2 throws off Gmail's filter, and now they're all coming right through.
But the straight story I loved, and it was absolutely shocking. One, because it was a great film, and two, because it was David Lynch.
Yeah.
Paired with Disney.
Yep. Holy crap.
Fucking shocking.
That was a great moment for our show, was Freaks and the Straight Story. You're right. The Straight Story was probably my biggest surprise all year. Not that I thought it'd be bad, but I didn't think it would be that.
Yeah.
Amazing. Also, Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
I won't talk about it a lot now. Talked about it then. Didn't think that would be good. Didn't think it would respect science. You know, someone wrote us a really long email about the science that movie got wrong. But they got so heavy into the science that I couldn't even read the email on the show. Not for my poor pronunciation, but just because it was incredibly thick, hard to digest. You really need to be reading it rather than hearing somebody.
Sure.
But I think my retort to that, and of course I didn't reply to them because I'm an asshole and haven't been replying to people. I'm really sorry about that. Everyone, I'm sincerely. So I'll do better. My response to that is the fact you could have that kind of scientific discourse, that sort of disagreement with the film on that level, means it's already treating science a lot better than most movies are. Really dug Rise of the Planet of the Apes. So before we talk about best movies, there's a little tease right there is what that is. I wanted to go back and read some more of these infamous emails that are getting so very much action.
All right, so this is from Michael to Michael. And also to Eric, though.
What movie is this about?
This is about Beetlejuice.
Oh, God damn it. Wasn't that from like 3 years ago?
Yeah, but whatever, Beetlejuice is still, it's relevant in that it's one of the best films that director's ever done and may ever do again.
Okay.
One thing that seemed to elude both of you was where the idea to cast Michael Keaton in the role came from. Again, talking about Beetlejuice.
Sure.
I would suggest you look back a few years prior to this film at the earlier work he did in Night Shift, which is a pretty much abysmal film. I suggest you watch this terrible movie, is what he's saying.
Yes.
He gets us.
Yeah, he does. He really does.
Which is pretty much abysmal film and early work by Ron Howard, but which features Keaton in a stellar role not that much unlike what he does in Beetlejuice.
Okay, so first I want to stick to what you just said for a moment. He gets us not just because bad film.
Yeah.
Because it's not as if we're the, hey, bad movie podcast, yeah, which everyone thinks we are.
Yeah, a lot of people are under the impression that we're two people, a lot of my friends particularly, sure. Which is why they're ever so dwindling in number.
Right. Is that why, or is it the naked cartwheels?
That's, yeah, when I tell them about your naked cartwheels, they go, you hang out with that guy?
Yeah.
My friends will say, oh, I heard this movie was awful. I bet you'd like it. And then I stop speaking to them.
Right.
Because I understand that they don't get me on a fundamental level.
Yeah, right.
And so I don't want to spend time
with
them.
That guy that sees bad movies, but you love bad movies.
No, I don't see bad movies because I think they're hilarious.
You love wasting your time with bad films when you could be seeing good films, right?
Yeah, fuck
that. I mean, you haven't seen Godfather Part 3, but you've seen Night Shift.
No, so I think I know what you're going to get at with this, and it's that he's saying this movie is horrible, but there's a very notable reason to watch the movie.
Michael, you understand me.
And that is absolutely the way you're supposed to get me to watch a movie, is go, so you should watch this movie. It's old.
Yeah.
Ching. That's point one. This movie is old.
Right.
It's by a notable director who then changed his game.
Yeah.
Two.
Instead Ron of making Howard, shittier
Ron movies, Howard, perhaps? Martin Scorsese, Boxcar Bertha. Was just, I watched it just because it was an early...
Not necessarily made shittier movies in those two cases, but a lot of times that's the case with the directors.
So it's done by a notable director who has a definite style, and it does something that impacted the film world after that point.
Right.
And that's the only reason to watch it.
Source material.
Yeah.
It's, going back to some origins.
That's why. I mean, we might cover Night Shift on the show just because of its exploration into Michael Keaton's acting career.
I think we just did. There's a email here about non-English movies I wanted to read. I believe the name is Shomik.
Okay.
Shomik writes and says, I was wondering why you guys do so few non-English movies. I feel like you guys could have a lot of fun with Italian horror, Japanese samurai, and South Korean serial killer movies.
Yes, yes, and yes.
Do you guys think you'll get around to those kinds of films eventually? Do you guys think you have to watch a wide cross-section of those genres before feeling comfortable talking about them?
Yes, actually. Yeah, that last question about the wide cross-section is exactly why we haven't covered them, is because if we watch... It's the same reason... We were discussing for year five doing the Japanese horror, Ringu, the Grudge style, and we had a brief conversation about, well, why don't we just do a few of the popular ones and call that a Killapalooza?
Hey, make a Killapalooza out of some Ringu, some Ju-on. Yeah,
and on paper, it seems like a fine idea. We do all the ones that America remade.
Yeah.
And then a few of the ones, because I've seen like Uzumaki, which America won't touch, and know that it's a really good one.
Sure.
But what we essentially do then is pick the ones we've heard of and say those are the best ones.
Right. That's not fair.
No, it's totally unfair.
Yeah, and also we won't know what we're talking about. We'll just reinforce that same idea.
Exactly.
See, that's why I like Killapalooza going, well, let's go from the first one, which everyone always thinks is the best one, all the way up to the last one, which is the most, you know, relevant time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the least viewed usually. And figure out what every single movie's about. And then we get the entire, you know, the whole history of the franchise, and we can kind of figure out what we think is interesting from all of that stuff. I don't even know that it's not necessary. First of all, let's go through this email bit by bit really quick here, or in reverse order or something. If I could go back to the beginning of the email, do we do so few non-English movies? Because I feel like we do a lot of non-English movies.
Well, it seems like we do a lot of non-English movies. But
Rocky in Asia was our big fucking thing this year.
But that's one movie out of two that week.
Sure.
Well, I guess one and a half because if Stallone is speaking.
Right. right.
But here's the thing, Eric, is while we are two American boys, two American men, some may argue, not me.
The 26-year-old one of us would probably argue that.
Yeah. The thing is, there are more countries in the world than America.
Impossible.
By a large margin.
Would you say a lot? A lot more countries?
Yeah, well, yeah, but what I mean to say, and this, it should go without saying, is that if we were to do an equal ratio of countries to languages, we would cover way more foreign movies.
Sure.
Yeah. But here's where our defense swings back.
Oh, good.
We don't fucking see them ever. They don't come out. We live in the country with Hollywood, and Hollywood dictates what we find out about, and then
the internet dictates what we can manage to find out about.
Right.
And I can't read Swedish. Sure. I can't read Swahili. So when I go on the internet and it's in a language I don't understand, if the picture's not really interesting and I can't Google something on the one sheet, I'm never going to know what it is.
I feel like as time has gone on, I mean, our last year of double feature was probably the most foreign year of double feature.
Definitely.
I don't know if that'll be...
With Takashi Miike and the...
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I mean, we did... we had a lot of weeks where we kind of felt like, oh, we're making people read subtitles again.
Yeah.
Whoops. And that doesn't even factor into it. Not once do we ever, when we're creating the schedule, go, well, we can't do that. It's got subtitles again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just say... goes back to that thing, right? Have respect for your audience. Oh, they can read or they can fucking use a chapter this time and move over to next week or let. At this point, we have literally hundreds of shows. So if you don't like the films we're doing one particular week, or we say take 1 week off a year to do a bullshit show like this one, then you just go
send us an email.
One of the other
about
ones.
About Blade Runner.
Yeah. Yeah. Or use your time to write an email. But you know what I mean? You could go back and rediscover one of the perhaps undiscovered shows that we've done. We'll get to more foreign stuff. We try. Sorry. It's basically what I wanted to say. I'm just sorry. That's all. Also, the South Korean serial killer movies.
Yeah.
Into that. But I mean, we've done Italian horror. We've talked about that stuff.
But not the Italian horror. I mean, no, like films like Is. Have you seen that?
No.
Them?
I just don't know.
I've only heard about
man.
It because it made, you know, the top 10 films you American pigs haven't seen lists in like 2010.
That should just be our schedule.
Yeah.
And then we won't be as wrong. Can I read Patrick's email too?
Read it.
Seems like with all the attention paid to the new French extreme, you guys would eventually get around to giving the Korean Renaissance some love. Also, considering your abiding interest in genre and cult films, you'd get around to exploring the quintessentially American and quintessentially badass genre, the Western non-spaghetti. I know you've got a schedule you're keeping and are exploring Asian Kung Fu / Samurai right now, and I'm patient. I hope he was really patient because it took me. This is when we started Rocky in Asia, and we're now done with that, so it's been a while. Sorry, he says, but you've never done a Western and never mentioned Old Boy, The Host, I Saw the Devil, The Chaser, etc.
Hold on.
Yeah?
Did somebody just say we haven't mentioned The Host?
And their amazing crossbreeding, the good, the bad, and the weird. So, I'm sorry, the good, the bad, the weird. I make that mistake all the time when I'm not talking about the good, the bad, the weird, of course. So I'm worried you don't know about one, but how could you not? And are biased against the other. And since yours is the only film podcast I listen to, I wanted to gently prod you.
That was a good email for a lot of reasons. One,
the
it
last
gave us,
line.
Well, that, it gave us an email. Idea. It gave me an idea for, okay, so apparently we're allowed to pin some Japanese movies with Westerns now, and that's a great theme for a show.
Sure.
But also, Westerns that aren't spaghetti Westerns really bother me.
I didn't know that.
Big Hollywood Westerns have always bothered me.
John Wayne stuff?
John Wayne stuff, particularly the Eastwood stuff when he started directing.
Sure.
Josie Wales.
Right,
and,
right.
There's one with Willie Nelson.
Which one's the one where Rob is in the tank?
That was not a Western. That was Flags of Our Fathers.
Oh, good. Rob, who we mentioned previously, was in the...
He was in Flags of Our Fathers.
He's in the tank. Way to go, Rob. Someone should add that to his IMDb.
Yeah.
I got to figure out how that works.
But the
host. I haven't seen I Saw the Devil, and I saw The Host, and feel like we've talked about a lot of the stuff from The Host on our show. Old Boy we could probably do, but it seems to go in the Blade Runner camp for me.
Why don't we do Old Boy with Empire Strikes Back?
That's not going
to
happen.
Blade Runner with Return of the Jedi.
You know, if any of these films have a chance, I think it's The Chaser. Because I think there's have you seen The Chaser?
No.
There's a lot of stuff
we
could talk about.
I know what it is. Actually, I Saw the Devil seems like a good idea too, especially since you're interested in South Korean serial killer movies.
The Good, the Bad, the Weird is literally a remake of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah.
People will debate that, but it's just
a remake. We did Sukiyaki.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is literally something else of something else.
Right.
And wow, I can't even talk about what it is because
you can't.
Spoiler world. But
no, you can't.
We did Sukiyaki Western.
I mean,
Django.
You say that, man, but have you seen The Good, the Bad, the Weird?
No.
And you haven't seen The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly yet?
No.
It's just
again,
a remake.
Watching
it's
70s
a remake.
Movies, but not those 70s movies. That one got too mainstream. I'd seen the first two.
Oh, I want to talk about music too. Aaron sent us an email about music. Oh, why don't you read that?
Okay. So, DRC music. Yeah. That shit's great. Thanks. Oh, he says DRC music. Thanks. I got excited.
Yeah.
So good. You guys might need to talk about music more. Don't say that. Sneak it in there. I also wanted to mention that I think it's great that you guys definitely don't do drugs. Okay.
I didn't cut that part off the email just because I wanted to stick that in. That's here because I thought it was funny. Yeah. It has nothing to do with the rest of his email.
Okay,
but
so here's why the music thing.
Oh, we're not going to talk about why we don't do drugs.
We'll get to that. That's easy. The music thing is far more it's far more comprehensive.
Now, before you say this, I want to let you know this is one of a plethora of emails saying, talk about music more. I love when you guys talk about it. They're not like the video game emails, man. Yeah, people actually seem to enjoy. I know a lot about video games, and I think interesting things. I don't know anything about music.
I have two things to say about the talk about music more conversation.
Please.
I have too much to say about music.
Okay.
It worries me to start talking about music on a film podcast because I have so much to say about it.
Sure.
I'm in a band. I'm a musician.
You're in three or four bands.
Yeah, I am. And I love music. I have tons to say, like enough for a separate podcast easily.
Sure.
That idea just went off in my head.
Bing.
And two.
Then you'd have to figure out how to make a podcast.
I need to. Yeah, fuck.
Let me tell you something about that. It takes a lot of work.
I need to apologize to you for constantly thinking you talk about Nine Inch Nails way too much on the show. And then just go ahead and state that I think you talk about Nine Inch Nails way too much on the show, but apparently that's okay.
Yeah, it is. It's yes, it did. You know, speaking of Nine Inch Nails, that was another thing we didn't cover in the emails, but everyone and their mother sent us that Trent Reznor interview back when that came out. So thanks for that. I still haven't listened to it. This is just what happens. I save it in the emails. I never get back around to it. That whole, you should look this stuff up. The problem is I put the Trent Reznor email in the same pile as the you should probably see this film email. And I always go, yeah, I'll totally see that film. And then I never touch that pile. So there's 10,000 things in there. But I think I talked on that show a bit about Sleigh Bells, which I was super fascinated with at the time. There's a new LP record I'm fucking obsessed about, Cancer for Cure, that came out at the end of May. It's so you know LP, right?
Yeah.
Did Flyontology with Trent Reznor, which is, see, I make it sound like I listen to other bands, but I listen to extensions of Trent
Saul Reznor. Williams.
Yeah, right. We talk about Saul Williams. We used to talk about Saul Williams all the time. Trent Reznor. So the LP album has nothing to do with Trent Reznor. It's just his new album. But I started getting into a lot of that kind of hip hop stuff, and the album Cancer for Cure is set, if I remember correctly, maybe I'm just imposing this view on it, which would be even funnier, but I think it's a concept album that is set in sort of a post-apocalyptic, or at least a police state, New York.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the songs are about that, or all the songs are. One of the songs is called Drones Over Brooklyn. I mean, that kind of gives you the idea of what the album's about. Just wicked fucking good album. Way good. Way good.
Well,
that's all I have to say about music for
a
year.
I have a few things to say.
Please.
We're talking about year four, so I'm just going to go ahead. I'm just going to fucking say it. There are albums that came out this year that fucking blew my mind.
Really?
I'm
glad you're still excited about new music. That's
particularly
good.
Have you ever heard of D'Antwoord?
Yeah, I have.
Oh,
sure.
Oh, my fucking God.
My ex-girlfriend was South African, man. She was way into that.
Oh, my God. I saw them at the Metro.
Yeah.
Oh, they're so fucking good.
The same ex-girlfriend who says, I don't watch enough foreign films.
Yeah.
Okay. So, also my neighbor, right? Uh-huh. So, I call her up, and I'm like, hey, I got an hour or two. Let's watch a film. And she sends me a list of seven films, and they're all fucking foreign films.
Yeah.
I called her pretentious. She got really mad at me.
But,
yeah, so into that stuff.
Oh, dude. They released an album, I believe it was like February, called Tension with a dollar sign.
Yeah.
Oh, so fucking good.
That's cool.
It absolutely blows my mind.
Good. So people should look that up.
Definitely check that
out.
The
music videos, too, are weird.
Fucking A.
Weird.
Also, Rob Zombie did a good record.
Oh, God, Rob Zombie.
We talk about Rob Zombie as a filmmaker. Turns out he also makes amazing music.
He does,
Hellbilly Deluxe 2. Get the special edition because it has Devil's Hole Girls of the Big Revolution.
Sure.
Which is a fantastic track.
We didn't talk about CMYK Color Scale. Can we save that for Party Monster?
Yes.
Spoiler, we're going to do Party Monster this year at some point, maybe.
Great.
We'll talk about CMYK Color Scale. There's a promise to talk about music in year 5.
Plenty of good music coming out. Silver Sun Pickups just released one this year, too. Check that out. Also, there's this band called Glitter Mouse constantly releasing way more music than they need to be.
Yeah, way more. That's exactly how much music you're releasing is way more than you need to be.
Yeah.
I did a video for a band called Glitter Mouse, probably the same band.
I sing for the band called Glitter Mouse. Sorry, I'm tired of the subtlety. I never get to mention
it. Just put it out there, man. I don't care. It's mention Glitter Mouse, it every week
Glittermouse
on the show.
Glittermouse.com. You can download everything, and then if you use the YouTube there and you type Glitter Mouse in, your video is the second one.
Really?
Yeah, it's our third most popular video on YouTube.
That's great. I need to get back to making video stuff.
Yeah.
Is your stuff on iTunes?
It's not on iTunes.
You and me are going to have a talk about that after the show. We'll get working on that. So The Blob was a film we did, and Ross emailed us and we asked a question on The Blob. Do you remember I'm going to set up the question. You give me the answer.
Okay.
Oh, you like that dynamic?
Yeah.
How has no one ever used that dynamic before? This
question
is great.
And answer method.
Okay. So, we asked on The Blob, I think I had mentioned that this might be the first instance of biological warfare, hazmat, gotta nuke it all. You know, human casualties are a necessity team, right? Being the antagonist.
Yeah.
Not the first instance of that. Maybe even more obscure film than The Blob that did that. You want to read Ross's email?
Oh, sure. Oh, E.T.?
Yeah.
Okay, E.T. Was this... Okay, so anybody who's not heard of E.T., this is a film that I actually did see as a kid.
Right.
It's one of those films that people talk about that I did see. It's the most famous, popular Steven Spielberg film.
Yeah, huge film.
And it's where he got the logo for Amblin Entertainment.
Sure.
And it is about an alien who befriends a young lad.
Sure.
And then evil hazmat suits come and, I believe, do horrible things to people. Spoilers,
it took me a while to see E.T. I think I saw it like 10 years after it came out or something.
We should double feature it with Mac and Me.
Oh, God.
That McDonald's commercial movie.
Yeah, no, I know what that is.
I love it.
I now have to tag that in this episode. Yes. And I hate you. Ross wrote us about Gattaca, too. He said, so just really quick on the E.T. thing. The Blob, 88. E.T., I think, 82.
Yeah.
So way before that. And there was probably stuff even before E.T. I challenge people to find evil hazmat suit guys as the antagonists that come in, that, you know what, before 1982, if you can find that, let us know. Gattaca, I always thought it was cool that A, the stairs in the apartment are reminiscent of a double helix, and B, the title is comprised of only the letters G, T, A, and C, which are the letters used to denote the components of DNA. The same letters that shine on the dinosaur's face in Jurassic Park. Cool touches, I thought.
Yeah, I did not notice the staircase. I did know the Gattaca thing.
Didn't know about that in Jurassic Park either.
Really?
Which was a film we had covered previously. Yeah, just trying to remember back to that.
It's when the dinosaur's like walking in front of the computer.
That's cool,
and
man.
And it like projects on its face. I just recently saw Jurassic Park. They showed it at the patio theater way out west on Irving. Man, that movie in the theater,
right?
Oh,
yeah, really good.
Shit.
Robbie wrote about The Matrix. Robbie said, I am a young British artist and I do a lot of work on categorizing art forms. And I'd like to mention that your discussion on programming code and web design and their portrayal in film. Oh, this is getting weird already. And their portrayal in film has influenced me in recognizing it as an amazing medium of art. As someone who comes from a fine art background, I am only tentatively exploring these tools, and I can just picture Eric being... He says he can picture me being the best teacher. I don't want to read the rest of this email, because that's not true. That's all just crazy talk. Actually, he says, thanks for your help, and if you're interested, here's my piece on art forms. It's at theshadowglass.tumblr.com.
Okay.
So people should go actually look at that. But again, kind of like the music, I thought it was funny, you know, anytime I mention programming on the show, there's mentally an alarm going off saying, this is the most inaccessible thing you've ever said. No one listening will gain anything from this. And, you know, whatever crap you churn out, people will find a way to find something notable about it, whether it's on our show or in the films we're discussing. In this case, I was inspired by The Matrix, and someone else is inspired by me being inspired by The Matrix.
Wow.
Way awesome.
We have a lot of emails left to read today, but this, I know this
They're
guy.
They're all short from here.
But this one's, this is Victor Furious.
He hasn't sent an email / poem since February, so.
But maybe it's because we haven't responded.
That's probably it. I hope he's okay. I love every, I print his emails out and I attach them to my locker, Trapper Keeper. Uh-huh. What do people do with the
yeah.
emails?
Sure.
This is, we don't have answers to any of the questions.
I have
today.
A poem for you.
All right, please.
Reality around me is wonderfully collapsing, perpetually rearranging. It's been one hell of a goddamn motherfucking year.
Thanks, Victor. It's
Victor
always
Furious.
Always good to hear from you. So Mike chimed in on Rocky and Asia, and I want to talk about Rocky and Asia. But before we do that, I want to talk about, I want to talk about the last chapter, which is best movies of the year.
Okay.
Big time countdown.
This is
top 10.
Top 10?
Which movie? I don't know.
I didn't pick 10. I picked like 3.
No, that's fine. I'm just, it doesn't matter.
Attack the Block.
Great. There, that's a movie.
I want to talk about it and Rise of the Planet of the Apes for okay. a different reason, but just because it was one of the best films of the year.
So you feel like we need to discuss
Well, I just want to say that Attack the Block and Rise of the Planet of the Apes are actually two of the best films of 2011.
Yeah.
That got generally, especially Attack the Block. Rise of the Planet of the Apes got one of those award shows said, hey, good
really?
Job, your CG looks like
See,
people.
See, I feel the opposite way.
Really?
I feel like Attack the Block got all the notoriety. It was the,
well,
the fucking indie blog movie.
That's because people had to champion it because Rise of the
yeah.
Planet of the Apes. Rise of the Planet of the Apes and Drive
sure.
Were the two films that got shafted because they got Drive got what sound editing nomination for an
I
Oscar.
Know. I don't even know
and
what that means.
Planet of the Apes got CG-ish.
I'm a sound engineer on IMDb. I should probably pay attention
yeah.
to these things. Now
well,
I got to start
point,
going to the conferences
the
and
point
stuff.
Is it sated people's thirst for the film to get recognition
right.
without recognizing the film for
sure.
anything.
Sure. So you would say, oh, these poor films, they were widely recognized.
They
and that
weren't
was
recognized
there.
For their real potential, especially Drive. We need to get that on here.
So we're going to say Drive is best movie of double feature year 4, despite not,
yes.
not being
time.
On.
No,
yeah, I want to let all the people emailing us know we're aware of what the movie Drive is.
Yeah.
We have seen
yeah.
that. It just didn't show up on the fourth year.
Attack the Block, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, definitely two of the big ones this year. Straight Story, just, I mean, I'm going to say it.
Yeah. Yeah, Straight Story was so good. I think we've probably mentioned that a few times.
Yeah, I'm trying to mention the ones that we haven't mentioned, but.
Can I give you my top 50 now? Are
yeah,
you are we ready
ahead.
For this?
Yeah, sure.
There's actually only four or something. One, the Matrix that I
oh,
just
Oh, yeah,
mentioned.
That was this year. Fucking A.
The Matrix.
That's like
super good.
That's like my flick chart number 4.
Oh, flick chart also. Is flick chart still super good? I haven't been
yeah,
on there in a
it
while.
Keeps getting better.
Okay, flick
keeps
chart.
Keeps getting funnier every single time I see it.
Google
Not
that.
To mention you're talking to a dead guy. So what do you think?
What? A History of Violence was really, really
oh,
good.
Oh, yeah.
Even when we paired it with Out of
oh.
the Past.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I got another one.
Well, it's fine. I was just going to say Reanimator as well, but
yeah.
I had a couple other ones. What did you...
Naked Lunch.
Naked Lunch.
Naked
oh,
Lunch.
Oh, that was a good show, too.
Naked Lunch in the Trial.
Do you want to say that K word you like so much?
Kafka-esque. That shit's fucking Kafka-esque.
I use that so
it's
often.
So fucking Kafka-esque.
I've begun to seriously weave that word into conversations. And then I always have to stop and talk about The Trial and Naked Lunch. Only which, you know, one of those movies
yeah.
is Franz Kafka.
Yeah. But Naked Lunch, I think, has finally made its way as my favorite Cronenberg.
Yeah?
Naked Lunch.
Ooh, that's exciting.
And I've seen most of them. I haven't seen that weird chunk in the middle with Existence.
Yeah, you know, me too.
And something about a spider.
Yeah, there's four or five of those
yeah.
That I'm kind of missing. Cronenberg, also so good. Just like The Straight Story.
Yeah.
So very good. Exit Through the motherfucking
oh,
gift
yeah.
shop.
Hell yeah.
Oh, the things we talked about on that show of I'm going to pull back just a little bit because listen to the show or whatever. That's fine.
And let's use this as actually another thing I want to talk about. We'll make it quick because I know we're in the middle of the big section that people are probably already ignoring. Exit Through the Gift Shop. I abhorred watching
oh,
it.
Oh, really?
Just because I didn't care about street art because it's annoying and it makes buildings look shitty.
Sure.
You
like architecture.
I always feel like I can tell when people are expressing themselves and when people are being seen.
Right.
And street art always struck me as being seen.
Sure.
And wanting to be, oh yeah, I'm the dude that puts the banana kid things up. You know what I'm talking about?
You don't like the banana kid?
Banana kid? Or but there's one. So two things happened to me, and this is about Exit Through the Gift Shop, so I'm gonna stick to this.
Sure.
I watched Exit Through the Gift Shop one, and it's available on Netflix and Hulu.
Yeah.
So you can watch it.
Yes.
Fucking watch it.
It is possible.
Two, I was seeing this girl and she was engaged, and she was like really unhappy. I wasn't seeing her when she was engaged. Previous to me seeing her, she had been engaged. Thank you for that look, because I didn't catch that.
Well, I got excited because if you'll remember back on the Exit Through the Gift Shop thing and talk about Banana Guy, right? The girl who was seeing somebody else.
So street art and fiancés are inextricably linked.
Make out with the street art girl?
I was seeing this girl who had previously been engaged.
Yes.
She was no longer engaged, which is, I think, where you'll see how this plays out. She was unhappy, but she's... You know how anytime you're in a relationship, you're always, am I unhappy or am I bored? And is the boredom going to subside?
Sure. All right.
Any of our fans who live in Chicago can totally relate to this story. There's a street artist somewhere out there in Chicago. If it's you, email me.
Right.
Forgive. Forgive yourself. Forgive. They write it on the street. They write it on the wall. It's written everywhere.
Yeah.
All over town. She was waiting for the bus one day and saw forgive yourself written at her feet for the bus stop and immediately went, I can do this, and dumped her fiance. And now she's like a free-spirited musician, artist, like living her life as a single
super
girl.
Super hip. That story could have gone much differently.
And so
I didn't know if that was one artist or if that was just kind of a trend.
I think it's one artist.
Yeah.
Because it's always the same handwriting.
Sure.
But... anyway, my point being, that was a moment that struck me that street art is about expression and not about being seen. I got it.
Really cool.
It connected, and I saw you can actually affect people by doing this type of art. And art for me is something that affects people.
Yeah, right.
That's why I know that our podcast, even though it's totally flawed and absolutely limited, is art, because some guy just emailed us and said, you taught me that coding is an art form.
That's
we affected
cool.
him, even in a basic way.
Hey, look at that. The least artistic thing I do is somehow having the most impact.
That's why I do the music I do. That's why I write the lyrics I do. That's what I wasn't seeing in street art. And Exit Through the Gift Shop was a huge component in me understanding the real basis. And then what happens, let me know that my initial concerns with just being seen are also a very real issue in the street art community.
Right. Right.
Okay, I'm going to step off that soapbox because that felt really heavy for a year-end show.
It was heavy, but that's exactly what I was going to say. The other cool thing about that documentary is Banana Guy.
Yeah.
No, wait, that's not what I was going to say at all.
Do you know what I'm talking about,
well,
right?
So the
fucking Banana Guy?
The no makeout girl. There's Banana Guys posted all around her house. I actually kind of wonder if she's doing
the Banana Guy?
That would be hilarious. Oh, terrible. No, the thing I was going to say about Exit Through the Gift Shop is that it teaches you about street art. It makes you appreciate it. And then it gives you a test case.
Yeah.
And everyone can stand around in mockery. What a wonderful idea. The other one was, you remember a little film called Super?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. That's in my top. It's in my Flick Chart top 20.
A lot of people sent us emails about Super. They said, you guys really, really tried to get everybody to watch this. Really, I keep using the word evangelize because I think it's funny, but note that loud atheist over here.
Hi.
Waving our hands. Just really good. Super.
It
does amazing things. We talked about the amazing things on the show. I really like the emails from people who said they started listening to the show, and there's a couple of these. Started listening to the show, decided, you know what, pause chapters. I'm actually going to watch Super. I don't want to get spoiled. So maybe we just have to give the spoiler warning 8 to 10 times,
okay,
and then people finally get it.
Well, maybe it's a combination of doing the spoiler warning and then mentioning chapters. Why don't we try that for this year?
I don't think that's going to work. That's pretty much all of my super best good time fun year movies.
Oh, actually, I need to talk about Rocky.
Yeah, well,
those movies are awesome.
Transition. We didn't talk about that yet. So Rocky and Asia.
I thought was going to be bored as fuck with the Rocky movies.
Okay.
Because I forgot that Stallone is the best.
Yeah, right.
Oh my God.
As I was watching the Rocky films, I would keep telling you, man, these Rocky films so great. And you just went bored. And I was always kind of like, well, Michael, why you should watch these movies. And we tried to pair them on the show. And the idea of somehow doing six Rocky movies was even more boring instead of less boring to you. So pair them with the Asia stuff.
That was
super exciting.
That, you baited me.
Yeah, I know.
Because I was...
I'm just saying my perfectly laid plan here.
You get me in that I like to do grand experiments with pairs.
Sure.
Like, that's my favorite thing. And it doesn't work, usually.
No?
I like to do something like, say, let's take a journey.
Yeah, right.
Let's show the evolution of... I mean, basically... So here's a really good example of what we just talked about with Uzumaki, Ringu, Ju-on, Dark Water, etc.
Right.
We did that.
Yeah.
But with samurai movies.
Right.
But we got to do that because we were just picking... Instead of trying to define the genre, we were picking waypoints on the map of the genre. And that's totally allowed because all you have to do then is do it chronologically.
Yeah, and we surrounded stuff with Kill Bill. I mean, it made sense.
Yeah.
So you think the Rocky Asia thing was a good idea, and furthermore, you enjoyed Rocky.
I enjoyed the hell out of Rocky, and I'm not going to say it was a good idea because I don't give a shit.
Right, right.
But what I will say is that I feel like the Asia part was successfully represented.
Sure.
And I feel like I did a lot of what I was hoping to do with it, and the fact that you enjoyed it as much as you seem to made me feel like the films, at least, were the right films to have done.
Yes, validated. It's one of those things that... So I think the idea was a success. I liked it. Not everybody was into it, but most people seemed to be into it. But then we have the self-selected sample of, you know, the only people emailing us are people who think the ideas are awesome.
Yeah, it's true.
And if you thought the idea sucked, you probably got bored with our show and stopped listening. Mm-hmm. So there's no good way for me to measure that. Having said that, it would seem really forced to try and do a paired journey thing every year.
Yeah.
So I'm
Let's
not...
Let's do it next year.
If it doesn't make sense, I don't want to do it, right?
Yeah.
If we find something that it seems like we need a journey, that's now a tool we have in our back pocket. But we already force ourselves to do Killapaloosas every year.
Yeah.
So contriving...
We don't force ourselves to. We are forced to.
The audience forces us to do...
We are forced by iTunes Star to do Killapaloosas every year.
Okay. So here's the thing. I want to talk about a lot more on the show, but I don't give a fuck about the year-end show.
Yeah.
And the Road Racers DVD came out.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to see what's on that DVD.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm torn between finishing this show and bailing on the show to check out the Road Racers DVD.
Let's just make this quick.
Okay. So I want to go through some email stuff really quick. Mike said that he likes the experiment. It feels much less awkward than Prophecy and Terminator, though I really enjoyed that too.
Prophecy and Terminator was a mistake. I apologize.
So
what we did was we watched all the Okay, so one, we watched the Prophecy films, which is a series of films where Christopher Walken is the Angel Gabriel that you've
done.
Never
Doesn't
seen.
Matter. Moving on. Not enough time to complain about
did
the Prophecy.
Did they find Nick Stahl yet?
Yeah. Oh, God. He invalidated everything by saying he also enjoyed Prophecy and Terminator, but good that, you know, he made that connection and liked that. Christopher Walker, I didn't give credit
Walker.
For,
oh my God, I thought it said Walken because
stop.
I just...
Just stop. He wrote to us about Jonestown. He turned us onto that documentary and I didn't give him credit. Sorry about that. Ellen wanted to write us after Jonestown. And I can't read your email, Ellen, because I saved your email for after all the men's emails. I am a terrible person. But you know what? I wasn't discriminating, so good for me. She points out this book that she says is amazing called Raven, The Story of Jim Jones and His People, that was written by a reporter who was investigating, you know, Jones' group. She wrote a lot of good stuff about it. Also says she digs the occasional infusion of skeptical thoughts and topics on the show. More skeptical topics. I like that. Check that out. Somebody sent us a picture of Paulie's robot. We
had
a lot of those.
Okay.
We had a lot of those. Not as many as naked listener photos. Doublefeatureshow@gmail.com. Please continue to send those. But there's one particularly amazing picture of Paulie's robot that Steven sent. So I'm going to put that on the website.
Oh, I want to talk about Ravenous.
Yeah, do that. Dave sent us an email.
Dave said Ravenous is fucking awesome. You guys mentioned the Free State Project in the Ravenous episode. I myself am a participant. I know you guys are libertarians, so maybe you want to check up on us now and then. So does that mean he eats people?
No. If you'll remember, the Free State Project was that nutty thing in New Hampshire where all of these, not even necessarily libertarians, but free-minded, free society people, it's actually kind of a kind of a weird Ayn Rand idea, right? It's Atlas Shrugged. Basically work within the existing system. Sure. That's the complete polar opposite of Atlas Shrugged, actually. I'm not, I don't have 9 hours to talk about Atlas Shrugged, people. The point I was making was these guys all moved to New Hampshire and decided to work within New Hampshire's political system to create a more free society.
Huh.
So since they all value freedom, they're going to, you know, they're going to vote accordingly, but there's so many of them concentrated in one area, they now have power in that vote. And they do a lot of other just nutty, kind of awesome, stuff. Look up the Free State Project. Glad people in the Free State Project listen to our show.
I'm sorry, I just read this next email.
Oh, is there more? Please.
Matt Dick says, okay.
I love Matt Dick. He's awesome.
This is the fucking best. I'm going to try to read this. I'm going to do this justice.
So, Michael, what does Matt say?
Listening to you guys talk about Sideways is 408 times more interesting than watching Sideways.
Ben writes to us about Trick or Treat, and Ben says, I don't know if you guys have seen them, but they're fairly simple. At FearNet, they've been having little shorts from Sam from Trick or Treat to promote the marathon I guess they'll be having on Halloween. This is obviously an old email. Sorry, again. They're nifty little things to tide us over a bit until someone pulls their head out of their ass and starts making some sequels.
Eric, we need to get our heads out of our ass.
God damn right. We should make a sequel to Trick or Treat.
We could probably get those shorts on the show. We Bright
Falls.
Thank you.
Yeah, I knew where you were going with that. I don't know if there's enough of them or if they're long enough. None of that really matters.
We'll make it work if we need to.
Anyways. Yeah, somehow more Trick or Treat will happen on this show at some point, somewhere, somehow. There were a few other things that I wanted to talk about on year four, but we got through those emails really fast.
Yep.
We just read them all at breakneck speed and didn't talk about them. It turns out community is really good.
Community is so good. So is Fringe.
Fringe is really good,
too. I had intended to talk about Fringe because I knew you had intended to talk about Community.
Yeah, don't have a lot of time. Community is so good.
There's a lot of good TV. I think that's something we can say. Give TV a shot. Yeah. South Park is awesome. Fringe is awesome.
Yeah.
There's some great TV. I'll be really, really frank. If you want to hear about good TV, message one of us on email.
I'll
Facebook,
respond to that.
Doublefeatureshow@gmail.com. Find me on Facebook. My name, you can find me probably through the Double Feature site or something.
I think so. Michael Kester,
K-O-E-S-T-E-R.
Great.
Seriously, message me and I will tell you what shows I've been watching because I watch so much TV. Misfits, another great show.
Oh yeah. The British thing, right?
British. Yeah. E4. But we don't have time to talk about TV on our film music podcast.
Don't have time to talk about Alan Wake either, but there's another Alan Wake game that came out.
Always time for video games.
Yeah, a sequel to the previous one, Alan Wake, the Bright Falls thing. I guess Bright Falls is really the Alan Wake thing. I don't know how that works, but super fucking hip. It's really good. It's kind of a different style, and we don't have time to talk about it, but it's awesome. The other thing I wanted to mention is this Lexicon.
We
have not talked about this in a while, and I just need to know what are we going to do about this?
Yeah, what should we do?
So someone has sent us a lexicon, and there'll be plenty of time to praise the person when we figure out what the fuck to do with it. But it's all of the verbiage from our show. It's the terms we have coined.
Hamster style.
Yeah, right.
Flying tom-tom.
Ice truck, all of that stuff. They keep adding to it. They finished it. It's this great tome of stuff. And then they keep adding on to it as we do movies throughout the year. They've had this thing finished for a year and a half or something.
Wow.
Where does it... Here's kind of the thought in the back of my mind. Year one of Double Feature, and I don't think we've ever talked about this on the show. It's going away. Mm-hmm. It's vanishing. And I think sequentially, year after year, we're going to have to pull down the then oldest year of Double Feature. They're not going to fit in the feed. And frankly, year one of Double Feature is terrible, and I would rather that people stop starting at the fucking 12 Monkeys episode.
Well, even just my biggest problem with year one is how negative we let ourselves be
a lot of the time. That's true as well.
That was the worst thing.
Yeah, it is. So that needs to go down. I want people to still be able to download it. I feel like rather than bug people about donations all the time, which hasn't been working anyways, please, God, send us a donation. Maybe we'll sell the first year, we'll remaster it or something.
We'll redo it.
redo the first year of the show. I don't know. We'll mention it when it happens, I guess. This would be a really good time to say we have a plan for year one. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take it all down. We're going to remaster the episodes. We're going to put all that stuff back together, include a couple bonus shows or something. include the lexicon, right? Sure. And then put it out and it'll be $5.
But people are fortunate that we have a plan for next week's episode, let alone with we're doing.
It's taken now 3 years to formulate the plan for what to do with year one.
Yeah.
And none of those plans are less than a $5 plan for the amount of work that I would have to do to combine all this stuff. Maybe a $10 plan. Whoa. Maybe that's it. Maybe I'll do all the things I just said and it'll be $10.
Wow, you just totally changed the plan.
There, now it's a perfect plan and we'll include the lexicon with it. But let's just say for now that that's the plan until I think of a better idea.
Okay.
Which I won't, so that's the plan.
All right.
So go to doublefeatureshow.com and maybe that'll already be up. Probably not. It'll probably take 6 months, but go there anyways. Doublefeatureshow.com. The email address is doublefeatureshow@gmail.com. And
my name is Michael Kester, K-O-E-S-T-E-R.
Send you a message on the Facebook.
Your name is Eric Ingram.
Look me up on the
I-N-G-R-U-M. Look him up on Google Plus.
No, don't do that. Go just on IMDb. There's nothing to actually look at on my IMDb page. Just click on it. You can see the artwork for the Birthday Massacre thing.
There you go.
That was already on the internet. I just feel really fucking cool about this. That's all. I can feel cool about it, right? Yeah, it's a cool fucking thing. A. When we planned year five and we're about to announce the first show of year five, we didn't do it at Starbucks this time. Now, you know I like my corporate Starbucks. You know I'm a big fan of this.
I know. I don't like Starbucks. I have a side job as a coffee guy now.
Oh, yeah. You do the coffee thing.
Yeah.
Like, you do the good coffee thing where you can make the shapes and the foam and the whatnot.
Yep, I can do that. And
you're not fucking around.
I'm the science coffee thing where I like use the timer and weigh out like exact grams and everything.
That's great.
It's fun. I love it.
Well, the thing I was going to say is that I drag you to Starbucks.
You do.
And you've become a lot less crabby about going to the Starbucks.
I'm just tired of hating things. I'm, right. You know, I'm in my 20s. Hating things was, I'm done. Done hating.
You're over that? You're over hating things?
I'm over hating.
What a fucking contrarian you are. So you're done hating things. You've been going to Starbucks with me, and I've been white chocolate raspberry mocha-ing my way into the future. We went to Wormhole.
Yeah. Is
the coffee shop we went to.
Wormhole's my jam.
Super cool place.
My hood.
For people not in Chicago that don't know about Wormhole, it's a little hipstery for my taste.
It's very
hipstery. I'm used to Starbucks.
Unfortunately, the third coffee wave, like the third coffee movement, which is what it is now.
Wow,
it's called
look
the third
at you.
Coffee movement.
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
It's so, so garnered by the hipster community that Wormhole is one, and Star Lounge is another one.
I haven't
right
been
by
to Star
me.
Lounge yet.
But it's so hipstery. And it's really uncomfortable.
But
it's
also
so good.
Really fucking cool and good. And
the Wormhole's all 80s themed. That,
I had some...
What's that thing that they have on the wall?
Oh, you knew I had to bring that up.
Yeah.
You can't talk about Wormhole and not bring that up.
Yeah.
It's a DeLorean.
It's the DeLorean.
It's actually a fucking...
I mean, and by the DeLorean, I mean it's fitted with the fucking Mr. Fusion and everything.
Yeah.
They tricked it out to look just like... the time machine from Back to the Future.
Yeah, not given the constraints of where it is and that they'll slap your hand, you could theoretically sit in and probably even drive if it still works, this DeLorean. It's an actual fucking DeLorean. Like you said, fitted like Back to the Future. Amazing. There's a lot of Back to the Future kind of stuff hanging around there. A lot of Star Wars.
Goonies.
There's a lot of gaming stuff, old school arcade stuff.
They have an NES system plugged in.
What was the name of
the?
I had some kind of peanut butter mocha thing.
Oh, the peanut butter Koopa Troopa?
Yeah, that was great. But it's funny because I walked in there and I, of course, ordered I didn't say tall because I'm not that much of a fuck up, but I called it a decaf soy white chocolate raspberry mocha.
Uh-huh.
And they stared at me like I was from another planet. I did not know where I was. So
too many adjectives.
Yeah, I reverted back to mocha because they don't have half of that stuff there. We planned most of year five. We kind of got an idea.
We planned next week's episode.
That is solidified. So what is next week's episode of Double Feature?
We're giving you a second week off of having to watch films. We're doing two unreleased movies. Unless you live in Region 2, which we'll probably get to next week.
Sure.
We're doing All the Boys Love Mandy Lane, which is an American horror film that never got released to video. But if you look really hard, you can find it.
Sure.
And we're doing this other film by the Dowdle brothers called The Poughkeepsie Tapes. And that's going to take a lot more work to get your hands on.
Use the internet, look for movies, I guess.
They're both unreleased horror flicks that, with a little gumption and elbow grease, you can probably put your peepers to before next week.
That's my hope anyways.
Watch more fucking film.
Bye.